Well, thank you, Nate. Appreciate it. And as Nate said, we were here 30 years ago, worked with Mark and Marlene, and just enjoyed our time here. And then we left. We left for a while. We've been... This isn't going to fall, is it, Nate? This? Just don't lean on it, right? There we go. So anyway, love coming back, and it's probably been, you know, 15, 18 years since we've been here speaking. And so, again, it's always good to come back. Last weekend, we were up in Hood Canal with Gabe and Jenny and the folks up at Hood Canal Community Church, something like that. And then even next Sunday, we're in Olympia. We're not staying in the area all this time. We go back. Tammy grew up in Oregon, so we're able to actually go back and visit with her folks during the week. So we did go to a Ducks game yesterday. There's a few Ducks fans, right? Come on, I saw that purple shirt somewhere. It was like, oh, I just about... No, I'm kidding. They're good. You guys are okay. But hey, there's another football game a little later or right now? Later. Is it later? 1 o'clock, okay. Somebody had said yesterday, I heard that they were the time, and I wasn't sure whether it was Eastern. So our daughters were out here with us. They all live, we have four kids. If you want to put that first picture up, if you can see it. Can you see it?
Not really.
I'm the fat guy in the middle. And then Tammy's standing next to me. So we've been married for 35 years. And I know that you're looking at me thinking, no, you don't look that old, Rick. I am. So we have four kids. John is all the way to the end. And his wife, John is 30. And Marari is standing beside him. She's a Dominican. They've been married for 7 years. And so when John was here in the church running around, making some noise during church, you know, that was 30 years ago. And Mark and Marlene used to take care of our kids when we were at youth group and that. So anyway, kids, they took care of two of them. So John, 30, and Marari. And then right beside Marari is our oldest daughter, Rebecca. And she was born here in Shelton. And so Rebecca works for a trade show company. She lives outside of Philadelphia. And then her sister, who's standing next to me, Abigail and Mariah, they're 24. And Abby and Rebecca live together. The place that they live is it's called Ben Salem, just outside of Philadelphia. Abigail, she talked about moving out to Seattle at one point, and I said, sweetie, no, don't do that. It's too far for us, and we'd only get to see her once a year. Anyway, and then one of the twins, Mariah, is standing next to Abigail, and she got married last year about this time. Next weekend will be a year that she's been married, and so... Her friend that's standing next to her is Eli. It's always hard to talk about your son-in-law, right? Some of you understand. It's easy to marry off your son. Go and do what you need to do. But it's always harder to marry off your daughter. And anyway, so Eli's a good kid. On Friday, Mariah had a surgery. And we tried to send her, they live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, just outside of Lancaster. And so Tammy and Abigail ordered some flowers for Mariah. And, we called at 7 o'clock at night on Friday night, and they still hadn't been delivered. So I get on the phone and, and then yesterday they still weren't delivered. Well, now I want my money back. And I texted Eli and I said, hey, we tried to send flowers. Can you go buy something for Mariah? Anyway, so he is a good kid. I think after that, I have to say that he's my son-in-law, Anyway. Anyway, that's my family. How many of you spend most of your time living in the past? If you're anything like me, we think about, you know, did I really say that out loud? Right? Or, you know, what, how, you know, how could I have done better on what I did yesterday? Or, you know, Nate, you had mentioned somebody was in an accident. Our daughter, Rebecca, was in a car accident on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. She was, Monday, she was coming home, going home from an event that she was at, and, you know, was in the car. And again, how can you do things better? What could you have done? Or, you know, we spend so much time thinking about yesterday, or thinking about last week. And there's a book, The Time Paradox, by Zimbardo and Boyd. And they talk about using time perspectives to change the way we live. That, you know, if we don't change the way we live, we will live in the past more often than we should. Darius Farrow, next slide, please. Darius Farrow talks about the 1-9-90 principle. The 1-9-90 principle. And what he's saying here is 1% of the time, that's 15 minutes, 1% of the time on the past. And if you were to, you know, like I did several months ago, I 24 hours times 60. That's 1,440 minutes. And so 1% of the time should be focused on the past, reflecting on the past, maybe journaling. Have you ever journaled? Have you stuff down on the past? But how many of us spend more time than 1% thinking about yesterday? Okay, I'm sure that you would all agree that maybe you spend a little more time than 1%. 1%. The 9% is the future. Little over 2 hours, 130 minutes. Thinking about the future, thinking about tomorrow. How, what can I do? How can I plan for tomorrow? Some of you, do you do planning? I'm sure you have. If you're part of the family, you know, even thinking about, you know, vacation or laying a vision for your family. But thinking about tomorrow, it's okay to think about tomorrow. But it's when we dwell on what happened yesterday and we think so much about and next week or next month. Oh, I have this presentation at work or at school. Oh, I need to do this or I need to do that. So today I want to talk to you about being present. That means 90% of the time. 90% of the time we should be focused on what we're doing right now. That includes eating and sleeping, visiting. That's 1,295 minutes being in the present. Can you say that you are present wherever you're at? I don't know about you, but phones, cell phones are amazing, aren't they? But they get in the way. Have you ever been with somebody and you're talking to them and they're not really with you because they're on their phone? You know, I have this pastor friend, good friend of mine. But whenever I'm with him, it's like, am I really with him? You know, he is there in body. But I don't, sometimes, you know, he gets a text and he pulls out his phone. And he starts texting the person. I can remember I was speaking, it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. Friday night, I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm speaking to a church, and my phone is in, my back pocket, and it rang, and I didn't pick it up, and then it rang again, right away, and I didn't pick it up, and it rang again, and I looked at it, and it was Tammy. There was a hurricane that was passing by the Dominican Republic, and I knew that I probably should pick it up. you know, Friday night, we're sitting and having a meeting with the church, and so I picked it up. Anything important? You know, can I call you back? But there's sometimes that you do need to pick up. But there's sometimes that we focus so much on that little screen in front of us that we miss the opportunity to be with people, to be with friends. What is it to be present, to be in person, and not be distracted with the things that are around us? The Bible talks a lot about being present. So, next slide, please. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day. Amen? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. David reminded us to focus on the present, to live life now. This is the day that the Lord has made. Next slide, please. Matthew 6, verse 11. Give us this day. Jesus taught us to pray, to pray for this day. Lord Jesus, give us today. How many of you pray that each and every morning? As we get up in the morning and as we're ready to go about the day, Lord, give us today. What does that mean? Today is here. Right? For right now. Be present. Next slide. He also knew that we would struggle. That we would struggle, that we would have fears about tomorrow. How many of you fear tomorrow? I think we all do, right? There's certain things that we fear. But Jesus taught us to pray that we're not to worry about tomorrow. He knew that we would struggle. And then Philippians 3, verse 14, next slide. Paul did not want us to be hindered about the past. And again, sometimes we can be present, but are worried about what happened yesterday. Right? We can be worried about what happened last week or the week before that. But Paul said, forget what's behind us and continue to live for what's ahead of us, right? We need to live in the present. We can't worry about what happened yesterday. And then Acts 2. Who doesn't want to be a part of an Acts 2 church? I remember 30 years ago when I was in this church, Pastor Mark started to preach through the book of Acts. And I can remember going, I want to be a part of an Acts 2 church. Don't you? And this is what Acts 2 verses 42 through 47 says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Everyone. Not just one or two, but everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together. Isn't that awesome? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. Living in the present. Not worried about what happened yesterday, not worried, not thinking about tomorrow, but living in the present. And so Tammy and I do live in the Dominican Republic. And talk about living in the present. It's so important that we are, that we just don't sit and think about, oh, if only we could have done this better. Because we would never be doing what God has called us to if we're always thinking about the past or even thinking about the future. And it's good to dream and to cast vision, but if we're not in the present, then there's a problem. For us, being present means to live out the gospel. When he's calling us to something, we need to live it out. Are you living life in the present? Today we're going to share four stories about being present and how you know, how God has called us specifically to things in the Dominican Republic. For us, 10 years ago, we bought some property in the Dominican Republic, and we've called it Community of Hope. And it's important that there's hope. It's important that we present ourselves, that people come. We're out in the rural area in the Dominican Republic, but people know where they can come for help. Isn't that amazing? They know that they can come and that they can have that hope. And so for us, next slide, please. This is the Dominican Republic. And as Nate shared, Haiti is on this side of the island. We're on the east side. And right in the heart of the Dominican Republic is Community of Hope. We own 10 acres of land. We started Mission 2535 10 years ago in 2015. And Mission 2535 comes from Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. And Jesus talks about feeding the poor, feeding the hungry, giving water to those who are thirsty, to clothe the naked, to visit the people who are sick and in prison. We try to live Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36 out each and every day of our life. There's people that come by our property, those 10 acres, and we try to live out the gospel. Next slide, please. This is our property. You can't see it very, very well. The front of the property is up here. This is a road. And this is the back of our property, 10 acres of land. This was the first building that we built on our 10 acres. We were building it because we were going to make our own water filters. As soon as we built that building, that's when a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you use Sawyer water filters? Sawyer water filters are the size of a handheld microphone, and they filter 360 gallons of water. What a blessing. And so we started buying those filters. Next slide, please. Again, this is our fish. We have about 20 to 25,000 tilapia that we grow. This is the factory. That's you're going to hear a little bit about Casa de Mateo, and that's it back there. Next slide, please. So in that big building that we built to make our own water filters, 10,000 square feet. And after it was built, it was, what are we going to do? Well, we decided to start a furniture factory. And this is some of the furniture that we make. When we have teams that come from the United States, they go, well, will you ship furniture? And I always say, this is the line that I use, it's good from far, but far from good. Okay? They look great. And they are nice. But it's like IKEA furniture. It's all MDF. And so once it gets wet, it expands. Right? And so we sell it and we make a good profit for what we do. Next slide, please. This is one of our workers. He's a pastor's son and he works there. Great, great kid. At the end of August, we did... we have about 33 employees that we employ out at Community of Hope, and he's one of the guys. End of August, we had this celebration where everything that we collected throughout the year, we give out to our workers. And he's one of the guys. And so usually we do a real traditional Dominican meal for them at this celebration. And we ask the younger guys that work for us, what would you like? We want pizza. Really? Right on. And so we got 22 to 23, 24 pizzas. And this young guy, skinnier than you could, you know, see, but he ate a whole pizza by himself. And then he took one to go home, right? Amen. Next slide. This is what they do. This is inside the factory. And the picture that we showed right at the beginning, that's the furniture that they're making here. Next slide. This is Pastor Luis Jose, and he's in charge of the furniture factory. One morning, I didn't tell him that what time I was going, and we live about 45 minutes from our Community of Hope, and so I didn't tell him that I was going to be coming early, and I showed up early, and all him and his guys are sitting at the back of the factory, and I thought, oh man, we're not paying you to sit down at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I go out there, and the closer I get, I realize he's got his Bible open. And I thought, man, you know, I'm a horrible person, you know, to think that, you know, I'm getting all frustrated at my guys because they're studying the Bible. And that's the cool thing about Pastor Luis Jose is he's taking boys off the street, giving them a job, but also teaching them about Jesus. Last year when we were back in the States speaking, they were sending me pictures of a couple of the guys that got baptized last year. Isn't that amazing? Being in the present. Next slide, please. So we also do plastic recycling. This is, if you can't see it, it's just a broken plastic trash. We buy it from people that go to the local dump and buy it. And so we buy it broken. Next slide. You know, this is all waste. This is Pastor Yere, and he's classifying what kind of plastic it is. There's two kinds of plastic, and then they put it into colors. Then they chop it up, and we put it through a machine. Next slide. And then it goes into these plastic, into these big bags. We sell it back to China. China makes more plastic junk that we buy and that we break. And then the cycle continues, right? And then we'll buy that broken plastic from the local dumps or the local places that we buy it. But this factory that we do, the plastic recycling, is the most profitable thing when it's running. And so our furniture factory that we run, the plastic recycling that we do, the revenue that we get from this helps plant churches. That's why we do what we do with this. We're providing jobs, but we're also planting churches. In the last 10 years, we've helped resource 10 new church plants. Isn't that amazing? That we can do this. Not only are we providing jobs, but we're also planting churches. Amen. Next slide, please. We have a vocational technical school. The year before COVID, we had a little over 300 people graduate from our vocational technical school. And then COVID hit, and it shut it down. And this last year, we're finally back up to those numbers. I think we had over 350 people in our vocational technical school. Classes from English to computers to being an electrician, pharmacy, barber, beautician, you name it, these guys will teach it. So we're part of a government school. We provide the space and the students. The government actually gives us the teachers. What a blessing it is. Next slide. Imagine living in a house like this, where you can see daylight, and I'm not talking about looking out a window, but you can see daylight through the walls. My heart broke when it was Hurricane Maria that was the one that devastated Puerto Rico, right? I think it was about 7 years ago. And so there was a young lady who was sending us pictures and videos of what she was living through. And my contractor asked me, he says, can we do something? And I said, yeah. And I put on social media just a few pictures of what she was experiencing. And I said, hey, if anyone wants to help, we were able to raise $30,000 in a month. And we were able to build 10 houses. Next slide. This is what the houses look like. Isn't it amazing? To be able to bless a family with no strings attached. That first family that received the house, they're still having Bible studies in their house. Our pastors, they wanted to do a dedication service. I said, no. I said, let's just give them the keys and walk away. And they said, no, we have to dedicate. We have to pray over this house. And I thought, okay, you guys do it. I'm not going to go. I went, and then I realized why they did what they did. Because the pastor, he stood up in front of them and said, do you know Jesus? And every Dominican probably would say, yes. Yeah, I know Jesus. And then he would go, no, do you know Jesus? And 95% of the people that we build houses for come to know Jesus after that question is asked. That's why we do what we do. You know, it's not just giving shelter, basic shelter, but we're able to really bless these families because of just giving them the basic shelter. Amen? Next slide. Sorry, I didn't move it forward.
A little over 10 years ago, we started a relationship with a dump, a local dump. And the whole idea was to go there and to buy plastic off of them. There are 50 men and women that are working at this dump, if you can see the picture there. They're digging through the garbage. So as the garbage trucks come in, they pull out the garbage and they search for recyclables. So they're searching for glass and plastic and metal, cardboard, and receive right around $100 a week. The first time we went there, to the dump, we brought apples and ice-cold water and shared testimonies with the people there. They weren't exactly receptive. They looked at us like, why are you guys here? Their arms were crossed and not wanting us to be there. It started to pour down rain. And so I asked the foreman, I said, well, why don't you come back to Community of Hope, meet my husband, and hear a little bit about who we are and what we want to do. So he agreed. He came back. And Rick asked him just a simple question. What is your greatest need? And he said, our greatest need is to have a shelter from the elements. When it's really hot, they didn't have a place to go. Or if it was raining, they didn't have a place to go. So the next week, Rick brought our foreman from the construction to the dump, and they built him a shelter. Shortly after that, we went again to the dump with a group, and we thought we would bring sandwiches, chips, cookies, and ice cold water, again sharing testimonies. We started to see those walls come down. They wanted to build a relationship with us. We spent time getting to know people like Santo in Alta Gracia. Didn't take long for Alta Gracia to greet me with a great big hug. She was dirty. She smelled like she worked in the dump. But I didn't care. I was building a relationship with her. Year after year, we kept asking them, hey, can we buy plastic from you guys? And they kept giving us what seemed to be empty promises. They never sold us the plastic. In fact, it even got worse when COVID happened and the government changeover. They never gave us the plastic. And so it got frustrating. And our team actually started thinking, you know what? Maybe we need to go to a different dump that would give us the plastic and we'll build relationships with people that didn't seem to be giving us these empty promises. But in my heart, I felt, you know what? It's not about the plastic. It's all about the people. About a year ago, the Spirit of God fell at the dump. As we started to do worship at the dump, Pastor Enrique, learned a song in Creole and in English. I can't explain it other than beautiful worship in the middle of the dump. Workers started coming to know Christ. People like Santo, who we have prayed for his heart to be softened to the Lord, prayed to receive Christ. All of this is so we can be present in our community, being faithful, available, and thankful, making a difference.
Amen. Next slide, please. So we would, this is part of what Tammy was saying, that we'd take sandwiches, living out Matthew 25, feeding the hungry. I don't know what they do the days that we don't go, but we're able to take in sandwiches and give them cookies and give them ice cold water. And so next slide. This is Santo. And he prayed to receive Christ last year. What an opportunity that we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Next slide. This is Pastor Enrique. Pastor Enrique works with us. He's also our son's father-in-law. John married his daughter. Pastor Enrique was the National Church President of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so back in April of 2021, you remember what was happening at that time? Yeah, COVID. And Pastor Enrique felt called to plant a church, and that's when it was. He started the church during COVID. Imagine. You think you had it rough here with all the restrictions. There was, you had to show your vaccination passport in order to go into stores. And so there, I don't know what you guys did here in regards to being able to come to church, or, they took out more than half the chairs. And so in the church would just grab the chair and sit right next to the other person. But in the beginning, it was Pastor Enrique and his family, our family, and one other family. That's what he started with. Next slide, please. And so this is Pastor Enrique's church. This was the inauguration service that we had. But, today he's got over 80 people in his church worshiping, and they're 3 hours ahead, so they're already early afternoon nap. They don't watch football on Sundays, probably watching some baseball. The Dominican Republic is all about baseball. And so but what a blessing. We've told him, now you need to start looking for a piece of property. What we have done, Mission 2535, part of it by the furniture that we build, the plastic that we sell back to the plastic recycling companies, we rent this location for Pastor Enrique. It's right around $1,500 a month. It's expensive. They would not be able to do it. He's trying to reach the middle class in a city of about 1 million people. That's where we live, in Santiago, Dominican Republic, in the heart. It's in the northern region of the Dominican Republic. And so pray for Pastor Enrique and Violeta as they look for land, as they try to reach the people in their community. Next slide. This is Pastor Emmanuel. Emmanuel is doing something a little different than what our other churches are. Pastor Emmanuel is a church planter. This church is about a little over a year old, and he's doing a house church, small church, about 10 to 12 people, and he wants three house churches in the city that he lives in. Pray for Emmanuel as he tries to minister to the younger generation. He's trying to reach out to the university students in San Francisco. Not San Francisco that you're thinking about, but the one in the Dominican Republic. Next slide. And so Emmanuel is gifted musically. An amazing voice, and plays the guitar, leads worship, and just a blessing to our ministry. Several years ago, he used to work for us, but now he works at the university. And in December, he's getting married. And so we're going to be a part of his wedding. But anyway, please pray for our church planting efforts as we move forward with this.
We were visiting a men's rehabilitation center a few years ago, and while we were there, they suggested that we visit this youth rehabilitation center that nobody was visiting. There are 30 centers for men There are three for women and only one for youth in the whole Dominican Republic. It's an 18-month program focusing on dealing with drugs, alcohol, behavioral issues, and gambling. Believe it or not, when we first met this youth rehabilitation center, when the drug lords get caught, their mansion of a house gets turned over to a rehabilitation center. And so these boys were actually in this former drug lord's home. When the drug lord gets out of jail, they obviously want their house back. And so when they got out, they forcibly removed these boys and threw them out into the street in the middle of the night. As you can imagine, that was quite a traumatic experience. But that's where our relationship began. The boys, we listened to them as they shared their stories with us, and we prayed with them, and just were there for them during that experience. We've seen many directors come and go out of this program, but over the last couple of years, we've had the same director. His name is Christian, who loves the Lord and is passionate for helping these boys. They actually used part of the program there for their treatment. They use us as part of their treatment because we actually hear their stories. They share with us their stories, and that helps in their rehabilitation. Week after week, we hear the stories from these boys. Unfortunately, most of them do not complete the program. They come in and out over two or three times and leave the program. Over the last year, I've had conversations with youth like Oliver. Oliver is growing spiritually and wants to be a pastor. Oliver completed the program this last June, and we are praying for him and asking him to pray and seek God if he might be a leader in Mateo House. Please pray for Oliver as he seeks God's direction in the future. And then if you want to go a couple slides.
Go to the video.
You can go straight to the video.
I'm standing here in front of Casa de Mateo. Casa de Mateo is a restoration center for young boys in the Dominican Republic. The idea for Casa de Mateo goes back to our days in Ensenada, Mexico with Pastor Juan, because he came to us and wanted us to partner with him in a youth rehabilitation center there. And we've just been able to see over the years the impact that he has made in these young men there. And so when we came to the DR, we just thought, eventually we are going to do this youth rehabilitation center here because of how we can minister to young men who are struggling with drugs and alcohol, with gambling, behavioral issues, or whatever problems that young men have. Several years later, it's just about done, and we are getting ready to invite these young men to come.
We are so excited for Casa de Mateo to open. One of the things that's different about Mateo House is this will be a faith-based program here on site. The lasting impact that will happen is that we're not only going to work with the boys being faith-based, but we're also going to work with the families. There'll be psychologists here that will be believers who will also be speaking truth into the lives of the families as well. And we will be able to host for 24 boys in this home between the three different houses. So we're excited that that will be the max amount of boys that we'll be able to put here.
In addition to the spiritual aspect of what is going to be happening here at Casa de Mateo, we will be able to train the boys vocationally, where they'll be able to learn from our furniture factory, but also through our vocational technical school as well. These opportunities will be able to provide the boys with skills where they can go back into the world and be able to provide for their families and for themselves.
Casa de Mateo is one of the many ways that Mission 2535 is making an impact, and we are continuing to do clean water, food sustainability, education and job training, and dignified health care. We invite you to be a part of what God is doing here at Casa de Mateo and to come alongside of Mission 2535 to make a difference here in the Dominican Republic.
We're able to be a part of what he's doing. And pray for us, please. Pray as we continue to live out the gospel, as we continue to do clean water, as we continue to feed people each and every day, as we try to offer jobs, try to plant churches. Pray that God would move in a mighty way. Pray for Casa de Mateo, because we still are not open. The government, when we filed for nonprofit status 10 years ago here in the United States, we filed in December of 2014, and in January of 2015, we already had our nonprofit. We were already able to receipt donations. In the Dominican Republic, 4 years later, we still are not finalized. We thought we were finalized. We thought that we were given nonprofit status. And then we said, hey, we're finished Casa de Mateo. We need to open it up. And they said, oh, slow down. You're not ready. What do you mean? And so pray for us. Pray as Pastor Enrique and Pastor John Cabral and our team on the ground, as they are ready. Pastor Anai will be the director of our boys' home. We're already fully funded for that. There's people that are donating so that we can run that on a regular basis. And so, again, we just need approval from the government. Pray for us, please. We certainly need God's hand upon that ministry. And so thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come what God is doing as we live out the gospel in the Dominican Republic, as we are living life in the present. God has you here in Shelton. How are you living life in the present? Because we desperately need to be present where he's got us. Amen? Amen. And for you, it's here. It's here in Shelton, in Mason County. And so, you know, we will pray for you as you're present here in Shelton. And please pray for us as we live life back in the Dominican Republic. Thank you so much.